From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
This week on the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition.
Many believe that the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, will have a profound impact on Californians of all stripes. Employers, employees, individual consumers, health insurance companies, and healthcare providers, just to name a few. The question, of course, is whether the cost will outweigh the benefits. What effect will the Affordable Care Act have on improving the health of average Californians? What impact will it have on California businesses, especially small businesses? What will it mean for insurance rates? And how will it change the delivery of healthcare and the way hospitals and doctors do business? We'll ask. Anthony Wright with Health Access California. John Kabatek with the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Dwayne Donner with the California Hospital Association. And Charles Bocci with the California Association of Health Plans.
We'll also hear from Kathleen Grassi, Director of the Merced County Department of Public Health, Michelle Von Tersch, Director of Communications for Community Medical Centers, and John Kapitman, Executive Director of the Central Valley Health Policy Institute.
The Affordable Care Act, diagnosing the costs and the benefits.
Additional funding for the Maddie Report made possible by a grant from Paramount Agricultural Companies, growing healthy food for you and your family.
From the California Channel at the State Capitol, Valley PBS, and the Maddie Institute, it's the Maddie Report with Executive Director of the Maddie Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. Today we're coming to you from the State Capitol to discuss the impact of the Affordable Care Act on Californians, and we're fortunate to have two leading voices from the Capitol with us today. John Kabatek is the Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Businesses California. Welcome back to the Maddie Report.
Thank you so much, Mark.
And Anthony Wright is the Executive Director of Health Access California. Welcome back to the Maddie Report.
Thank you.
So Anthony, we'll start with you. Basic question. Do you think the ACA is going to improve health care and health care outcomes, and if so, at what cost?
It absolutely is, and it's starting to. California, in implementing and improving upon the Affordable Care Act, has now expanded coverage to millions of Californians. Over 1.2 million Californians have signed up for new coverage options in Covered California, the new marketplace. We also have almost 2 million people enrolled in Medicaid healthcare coverage for low-income Californians. That's not including small businesses who have a new tax credit, young adults up to age 26 on their parents' plan, a range of benefits of people getting access to coverage and getting financial help to afford that coverage. Can we afford that? We can't afford not to do this. The healthcare costs were rising at unsustainable rates over the last several decades. In the last 4 years, the rate of growth in healthcare has slowed to the slowest rate in the last any time in the last 50 years. So we are making progress. There's a lot more to do to control the cost of healthcare, but that's something that we need to do globally, as well as provide financial help for people who are at low and moderate incomes so that they can be in the system, get the preventative and primary care that they need, and improve healthcare outcomes for everybody.
I think you set out the entire argument for it. So, John, what do you think? Was it worth the cost?
Well, no question small business owners want to make sure that Californians and Americans have access to affordable healthcare. It's been their number one concern. It's been soaring healthcare costs and healthcare issues for the past, 30 years. But, you know, small business owners want reform, but unfortunately, what this law lacks is a great deal of actual affordability, a discussion and actual policy that focuses on affordability. Let's keep in mind, we're putting 5 million Californians into the healthcare system without sufficient number of doctors, nurses, administrators. At what end and at what cost is that in terms of actually fixing the process? I mean, we really look at this more as, you know, this isn't really healthcare reform as much as it is an overhaul of the health insurance system.
What do you think in terms of impact on small businesses? Good thing or bad thing?
Well, small businesses, actually, put yourself in a small business owner's shoes today. The highest sales, income, and gas taxes, the most sweeping regulations in California, lawsuit abuse across the board hitting small businesses. And now this massive amount of new costs, taxes, mandates that are affecting small business owners, it's a lot of issues that are facing them. I mean, in terms of the impact, even the Obama administration itself admitted that small business owners are going to be seeing their premiums increase about 65% over the next 3 or 4 years, and about $2 million lost jobs. I think the big question is, with that many costs, mandates, reporting requirements, is that helping to get job creators creating jobs?
Are you going to challenge some of those numbers?
I would certainly dispute many of those numbers. In fact, there is no mandate on businesses of 50 or smaller employees, and in fact, they get access to a tax credit to better be able to afford coverage for their workers. That's a direct benefit. They have a new option to buy coverage through an exchange through Covered California, and now hundreds of small businesses are providing coverage to thousands of employees through that program, and more will in the future. So, this is a big boon to specific small businesses, but also for the economy. Think about the creativity that can be unleashed when people no longer have to take the job that they have to take because they need to be covered because of their pre-existing conditions. This will unleash both entrepreneurial and artistic innovation by allowing people to pursue the careers and dreams that they want and spur our economy in that way.
That's interesting. I have never heard that one before. It's an interesting kind of thought on the process. John, what do you think about, you were mentioning kind of the burdens on employers, and one of the things that's been mentioned is the administrative burden on some employers. Do you see that being a problem? And if it is, and most likely, let's say, for sake of argument, we're not going to repeal the law, what can be done to reduce those administrative burdens?
Sure. Well, and again, I would disagree with the fact that people who say, well, it's not going to affect small businesses with fewer than 50 employees. Well, there's a whole multitude of things that affect a small business owner when this law comes into play. Certainly, there are the reporting requirements. There are posting and information requirements small business owners are going to be required to place. And also, in addition to that, calculating. Now they're having to be experts in terms of calculating the hours of their full-time employees, which they never had to do. So they now have to be an accountant, they have to be a tax benefits consultant, an attorney. And remember, think about it, 3.6 million small businesses in California are most of the job creators. Most of them don't have the HR departments, the administrative departments. This is a huge administrative burden when small business owners want to just create jobs and be successful.
And by the way, full-time, just to be clear, right now it's defined as 30 hours. Not 40 hours, which a lot of people usually think of full-time as 40 hours. With November elections just around the corner, how are voters likely to respond to the first year of Obamacare? We're talking with Anthony Wright from Health Access California and John Kabatek from NFIB. Anthony, how do you think the general public is going to view Obamacare as we roll it out? Are they going to warm to it? Or are they going to cool to it?
Well, in California, we've been fortunate to be spared some of the partisan warfare that we've seen in D.C. and some other states. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, has consistently enjoyed 55% plus approval ratings among the California public. Pollsters have never seen that level of consistency before for other policy initiatives. So there's a solid base of foundation. And we've had actually a broad consensus among not just consumer advocates, but legislators, political leaders, but also parts of the industry, providers, insurers, that they want this to succeed in California, and that's why California has actually made great strides. And so what we're seeing nationally is that there's actually been an uptick in improvement as people are starting to see the benefits of the law, once people get away from the politics and see the practical, what does this do for me? What are the new options that I have? I think that those numbers will actually improve. But in California, it really has been not the political partisan. We've even had bipartisan votes on some of the bills to implement health reform in California to show that it really is not the same conversation that we're having in D.C.
Yeah, I'd seen a PPIC, Public Policy Institute of California poll that showed 53% support in California. But nationwide, that's not the truth. The number's a little different nationwide. And nationwide, it's more about 40% level of support. So, John, what do you think? Are people going to warm or cool to Obamacare or the ACA as it rolls out over the next year?
Well, I think time will tell as we look ahead this year. I think so far the prognosis hasn't been good. And whether you're talking to Democrats, Republicans, women, men, young, old, there seems to be so much frustration with delays, moving the goalpost, fixes, fix after fix, patchwork fixes, that people are so frustrated right now. It's no surprise that the Gallup poll recently did show that 57% really don't think that the administration is actually helping healthcare. So, we'll see. But I think the question people are going to be asking is, will premiums be going up? Will people be losing their coverage? And most importantly, will people be able to get the answers they need?
Well, let's translate that to the election. Elections in November. How do you think it's going to play out?
Well, I think this is going to be one of those issues that really is going to be a motivator in different ways, probably for both parties, if you ask. I think another poll, the USA Today just recently showed that 54% of Americans believe that this law is going to impact their way of voting for candidates. But again, that same poll showed 2-1 oppose the law and don't think it's the right direction. So what are we going to see? We're going to see probably Democrats pivot a little bit. We'll see Republicans pouncing pretty hard. But I think, in fairness, what Republicans Americans need to do is make sure that they're talking about what fixes need to be made and also how they would provide relief for small businesses.
You know, Anthony, I saw a CBS poll that said that 70% of Republicans are very motivated for the November election, and they attribute that to Obamacare, the ACA. They said 58% of Democrats. So what do you think is going to happen in the November election? Who's going to be motivated? Or will they? Will they just, this will be old news at that point?
I mean, at some level, I think that this is actually seeding into the woodwork. Elections are about the future, not the past. And I think what the one area, even though the Affordable Care Act is contested not so much in California but in other places around the country, the thing that's clearly unpopular is repeal. That's just simply an unsustainable of a position. It's unpractical because so much of the law has already taken place. But people don't want to go back to a system where insurers get to deny people for pre-existing conditions. People don't want to go back to a system where people who think they're covered find that they're not covered once they actually get sick. So I don't think that the repeal message is a winner either. And I think that folks who have that position will be at that will be a position to their detriment. The people who have complaints about the Affordable Care Act, a good portion of them are people who wished it went further, people who wished that it took additional steps, and that's something that actually we should consider here in California, where there is at least a political will to continue the conversation rather than just to have gridlock, which is what we faced in D.C.
Okay, so John, we've got millions of people that are gaining coverage because of the law. Let's assume for sake of argument that it's not going to be repealed. What could be done to improve the law?
Sure. Well, again, I think what we hear from small business owners, and I think Americans right now, is that this law should have and really should be focusing on affordability, not just coverage, but how do we pay for this? And I think that's a big concern people have. Frankly, a few things we hear from our members is, you know, I know people feel that a lot of this law is so much of gotcha government. We hear it in California quite often, but it's certainly across the nation, this gotcha government. The taxes are so egregious and so picking the winners and losers that it's very, very hard. You've got a health insurance tax that's going to be hurting a lot of small businesses versus the larger businesses and unions. You've got picks and chooses on in terms of taxes that are going to hurt the medical supply industry. You're going to and tanning salons, but not others. So I think first of all, remove the onerous taxes, stop the mandates, which is again gotcha government, and most importantly, I think one area of it that we think is helpful is actually focusing on the exchange.
We're going to end on that on a positive note. How's that? But differences of opinion, which is not surprising. Well, I want to thank both John Kabatek from NFIB and Anthony Wright from Health Access California. So how are California's insurance companies responding to the influx of new enrollees? Our guest is Charles Bakke, the Executive Vice President of the California Association of Health Plans. Welcome to the Matter Report, Charles.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
A lot of people are focusing on the total number of people that have signed up for health insurance, but it seems to be the more important issue is the mix of those people. How many healthy people are signing up? Are you at all concerned, or insurance companies at all concerned about the mix of enrollees?
Well, absolutely. For health insurance to work, you've got to have a number of healthy people buying coverage to offset those with serious medical conditions and high medical costs. So, yes, we're obviously very, very concerned. However, you know, open enrollment just closed a few weeks ago, and health plans are still accepting payments for premiums. So we're not going to really have a real good picture of that risk mix for a few more months, and maybe even a year.
It seemed like the stuff I was reading that in the last month, there was about a big increase in the number of young people procrastinating, and about 28% of the March signups were young people. Well, that's probably good news for insurance companies. Did you assume when you were looking at this, that initially that sick people that needed insurance would most likely be the first ones to sign up, and did you factor that into your rates?
Yeah, so there's a lot that goes into estimating what premiums will be in the future. You know, you have to look at what medical costs are both prospectively and retrospectively, and you have to look at the overall health of the population that you're going to cover. And so we did indeed estimate that because of the changes in the law that allow people with pre-existing conditions, high-cost medical conditions, to buy coverage, that there was going to be some pent-up demand and that folks would be buying coverage and then very quickly moving to receiving care that they've been unable to pay for many, many years. So we did build that into our rates, but it's an estimate. And we won't know the reality whether we were right or wrong on that estimate for quite a while.
Now, actuaries would tell you it's a science, but my sister-in-law is an actuary, so I think she'd agree with you. It's an estimate. The ACA contains a number of things that will mitigate the impact on health insurance companies. What are they and why were they needed?
Well, they were needed because what this law does by, again, allowing people who have serious health conditions to buy insurance, that has a potential, and this has happened in other states that have tried this, what happens is more and more sick people buy coverage, and as premiums increase, healthy people drop their coverage because they're going to take the risk that they're not going to get sick. And that creates what's generally called a death spiral, where costs rise, premiums rise, healthy people drop. So the federal law has a number of elements that were designed. They're called the three R's: reinsurance, risk adjustment, and one that I'm forgetting right now, risk corridors. They basically move money around. And for the plans that have healthier people, they will move them to plans that have sicker people. So it's very complicated. They've been mischaracterized, but they're very important, but they're also temporary. And so they only last for a year or two.
You know, health insurance premiums, people have been complaining, frankly, that they've been going up for years, but there's lots of reasons for that.
I mean, yeah.
Older population, different, more expensive medical care. Do you think the Affordable Care Act itself is going to have any impact on rate increases?
Well, the Affordable Care Act itself is kind of expensive. You know, it didn't do a ton to actually lower health care costs. Now, for the consumer, there are going to be some who pay more, and there's going to be some who pay less. Those who pay less will be those of lower income who are eligible for subsidies, and those that pay more will be those who make higher incomes and aren't eligible for subsidies. But the fundamental cost of care, there was actually a number of things in the Affordable Care Act that increased costs. I think the big question is, long-term, in order to lower health care costs and to lower those premiums, health plans and insurers really need to work with hospitals and doctors and physicians groups collaboratively to try and come up with ways to provide quality care at lower cost. And there's a number of initiatives in the works and that are ongoing. We think that's a much better collaborative way to lower costs. You really can't expect politicians to do a good job at lowering health care costs.
Well, I'll leave that one alone. what about this emphasis on preventive care? You think that's going to have a bigger impact in lowering health care costs long-term than the fact that we have these people who are, you know, pre-existing conditions, people who are previously sick, entering into the system?
Well, it's obviously important. I mean, the law provides free preventative care for Californians, and health plans are covering that right now, and that's a huge deal. And yes, long-term, you're absolutely right, it is going to help control costs, especially people with chronic conditions. These are folks who have three chronic conditions, and they're constantly seeking high-cost services. Preventative services can help. But again, that's longer term. And so, you know, you really have to have still that balanced risk mix, purchasing coverage, for that to really pay off someday.
So a little bit of a bump in the road initially, but maybe long term, possibly better. Well, I'm going to thank Charles Bakke with the California Association of Health Plans for joining us. So what do California hospitals think about the ACA? We're now joined by Duane Downer, the president and CEO of the California Hospital Association. Welcome to the Manny Report, Duane.
Thank you.
Well, I was wondering, is the ACA good news or bad news for California's hospitals?
Both. The California Hospital Association supported the enactment of the ACA because we believe that expanding coverage to the uninsured is extremely important as we move towards the future and in making health care not only accessible but affordable to the population. However, when you look at it from an individual hospital standpoint, there is no single answer. It depends on the hospital's service area, the population of the breakdown, how many Medicare patients they have versus Medi-Cal versus uninsured versus commercially insured. And so every hospital is different. And
so excuse me for interrupting, but would that mean, like, our hospitals in the San Joaquin Valley, would it be a more difficult challenge?
Well, it depends. Again, you can't make a judgment about everybody in the Central Valley. Okay. However, if a hospital has a large number of uninsured patients, getting coverage for them will help them financially.
So that would probably be a good idea for the San Joaquin Valley.
But. If they have a large number of Medicaid or Medi-Cal enrollees, they're going to get more because of the enrollment in, increase in Medi-Cal. However, Medi-Cal only pays 68% of the cost of care. And so these individuals are going to come in and only part of the bill is paid, and therefore the hospitals end up with bad debt. So charity care will go down, but bad debt will increase. And remember that under the exchange, for the people that come in and covered California, they are going to be responsible for 30 or 40% of the bill. And that will end up being bad debt to hospitals. So that's why you can't make a generalization and say it is financially a better solution for every single hospital, because that's just not accurate.
So what about these situations where patients start treatment? Let's say they're covered by insurance. They start treatment, then they stop paying their premiums.
and they lose coverage under insurance, the hospital's stuck with the bill?
Yes. Now, the grace period that the government gives people for not paying their bill if they've been paying premiums could have some effect on it. But if they have a long-term treatment program and the coverage stops, then it'll end up being, it'd revert from bad debt to charity care because of the rules.
Okay. Do you think the ACA, Obamacare, is going to change the way health care is delivered?
I think that two things are going to happen as a result of Obamacare. First of all, we're going to get additional coverage. But then the second is a huge backlash from the public. Why? Because of the narrow networks, first of all. The qualified health plans have excluded a lot of hospitals and doctors from their networks. And in many cases, they're the high-cost institutions that have trauma centers and transplants and medical education and so forth. The high-cost hospitals, in many of them, are excluded. So they'll go into those hospitals as out-of-network patients. And many people do not even understand that their doctor is not in the network of the exchange. And so these narrow networks, by excluding a lot of the hospitals and doctors in the state, are going to create a backlash from the public. But the big one is going to come when they have to start paying these amounts out of their pocket. And most people that take Obamacare do not realize that they're going to be responsible for 30 or 40% of the bill if they take silver or bronze plans. And that will create a political pressure on everybody, and how we deal with it is really important.
But do you think that the way healthcare is going to be delivered in the future, with the increased influx of all these patients, it's going to force hospitals to even be more efficient? Is going to bend the cost curve for healthcare, do you think?
Obamacare is not going to bend the cost curve, it's going to increase it. However, let's look at the long term, because we can't continue to have healthcare costs increase like they are. Therefore, the undercurrent of Obamacare will be that we have to change the way we deliver services. We have to change the way services are used and then demanded by patients. So the lining here, the silver, is that we are going to be pushing everyone, consumers, providers, and payers, into a more efficient system overall, where people are more responsible for their health and where care is integrated, provided more efficiently across the entire continuum, from wellness and prevention to acute care to post-acute care, chronic conditions, and advanced illness. So I think, looking down, by 2020, we are going to be better off.
Well, I'm going to leave it on a positive note. I want to thank Dwayne Donner with the California Hospital Association, as well as Charles Bakke with the California Association of Health Plans, Anthony Wright with Health Access California, and John Kabatek with the NFIB, all of them, for joining us. Up next, what impact will the Affordable Care Act have on the healthcare system in the San Joaquin Valley? We'll talk to Kathleen Grassi, director of the Merced County Department of Public Health, Michelle Von Tersch, the Director of Communications for Community Medical Centers, and John Kappetman, Executive Director of the Central Valley Health Policy Institute.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. What impact will the Affordable Care Act have on the health care of Valley residents? Our guests are Kathleen Grassi, Director of the Merced County Department of Public Health. Welcome to the Matty Report, Kathleen. And we also have Michelle Von Tersch, who's the Director of Communications for Community Medical Centers. Welcome to the Matty Report, Michelle.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, let me start with you. What impact do you think the ACA will have on hospitals in the Valley?
Well, the most significant impact to hospitals as a result of the Affordable Care Act is the way hospitals are reimbursed for the care provided. So at community medical centers, we already care for those who need emergency care, regardless of their ability to pay, and that'll continue. You know, last year alone, we provided about $152 million in care that we weren't paid for. So while the government requires that every citizen have health care coverage, the impact is still difficult to predict. So we've already seen significant reductions in reimbursement with the changes in Medicare and Medi-Cal payment systems. But as individuals sign up with exchanges, there are four levels ranging from 10% patient responsibility to 40%. So it's hard to predict what consumer choices will be, and as a result, what the charity care or bad debt implications might be for hospitals.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I guess the to make the question more pointed is your reimbursement rates are going down, but you should be giving less charity care because these people should be covered by insurance. So I'm just wondering, you know, is there a net gain or a net loss there, or is it too early to tell?
Well, I can only speak for community, obviously, but we anticipate that our losses or reductions in reimbursement could be up to $20 million for 2013 and 14.
But your charity care is probably going to go down, though, correct? Or is that incorrect?
We just don't know yet.
Just don't know. Well, hopefully.
Because there's more implications. Like, as individuals sign up with exchanges, we don't know how many are going to sign up with just a 10% patient responsibility, or they may select a plan that requires 40% of the patient's responsibility for their health care.
Yeah, so the insurance company
may be able to pay that, or they may not be able to pay that.
Right. So to be clear about it, if they pick up that one where the patient's responsible for 40%, you might get the 60% from the insurance company, but the 40% they may or may not pay. That's your concern. Well, let me ask Kathleen. You're up there at the Merced County Department of Public Health. What impact do you think the Affordable Care Act is going to have on county health departments like yours?
Thank you, Mark. I'd like to say that there are, you see one public health department, you've seen one public health department. Each county's public health department is configured a little differently. Some counties still have county hospitals and county clinic systems that are run through an agency or through their public health department. And other health departments do not have direct much in the way of direct health care services at this stage of the game. Merced County is similar to the latter. We do not have a county hospital here, nor do we have a county clinic system any longer. That has been the case for at least 15 years. The public health department provides minimal clinic services, the traditional immunizations and tuberculosis clinics, for example. So our main difference as a result of the Affordable Care Act will really allow us to focus on prevention services in partnership with healthcare providers in our community. We have done prevention services in the past, and going forward, we will continue those. Our job really is to link individuals in the community to health insurance if they haven't already signed up, and to those providers or provider systems that they need. Many of our staff are in touch with consumers on a daily basis and provide that service. We also serve as a neutral convener for our healthcare partners when we're looking at systems across our community. For example, right now we're serving as a neutral convener to really look at both primary care and behavioral health. And as you know, through the Affordable Care Act, not only will more people have access to health care, but the array of services, including behavioral health services at the primary care level, will also increase.
You know, I want to ask Michelle about that, actually. You know, I was wondering, with all these new folks coming into the system, is the system going to be overwhelmed? What do you think, Michelle?
You know, this is something experts have anticipated, but so far we haven't seen that. We expect and have for years dealt with large numbers of people seeking care. In fact, at our downtown hospital, Community Regional Medical Center, we're home of the third busiest ER in the state. So, you know, the problem is many people use the ER because they don't know where to go or they don't have a primary care physician. There are likely some exceptions, but we didn't expect to be overwhelmed by the newly insured, and so far we haven't been.
Do you think that the Affordable Care Act is going to fundamentally change the way healthcare is delivered in the Valley? I mean, for example, reimbursements to physicians are being cut. So is there a concern there that maybe patients aren't going to see doctors so much as maybe they're going to be seeing physician's assistants and or nurses. What do you think, Michelle? Is there going to be a change in the way healthcare is delivered in the Valley?
I think there will. The Affordable Care Act is the biggest change in our nation's healthcare evolution since Medicare was instituted in 1965. I don't know that many people really realize that, but it is going to change. We've entered a new era. To the good, more people have access to healthcare. Unfortunately, there's no guarantee that finding doctors and dentists or other providers taking new patients will be easy. So I think there will be, it's very likely that people will see physicians, assistants, and nurses. But I know at community medical centers, we have very qualified nurse practitioners and physician's assistants who treat patients in our clinics and emergency departments every day. And it's even better for the patients because patients with less serious injuries or illnesses, they're well served by nurse practitioners and physician's assistants who typically can see them and treat them faster.
I have to tell you, I just met with my doctor recently, and he had mentioned, we got into a discussion about the Affordable Care Act, and he says that reimbursements to physicians are being cut, but with the promise that they'll make that up with more patients. But he says, listen, there's only so many hours in the day and so many patients that a doctor can see. So he's got some concerns about the Affordable Care Act. Are you hearing that from doctors that you work with at community? Michelle?
I think that has been a problem. And unfortunately, physicians can really, control based upon their physician offices, how many new patients they can accept. So that's the difficult thing is, they may be in positions where they have to turn away new patients because they just can't incorporate them into their caseload.
Yeah. Kathleen, what do you think about the Affordable Care Act in terms of its emphasis on preventative care and new ways to deliver health care? Do you think it's going to bend the cost curve and slow down the rate of health care cost increases?
Well, that is the intent of the Affordable Care Act, is to reduce healthcare costs. And I see so many of our consumers in the community that have chronic healthcare conditions that are costly. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that over $2 trillion annually is spent on healthcare costs, and 75% of that amount is specifically attributable to chronic health conditions such as diabetes, heart disease, stroke, result of stroke, and so forth. So one of the things that public health is really working on is how to help not only the consumers to either manage or prevent serious chronic health conditions, but also to work in our communities, to redesign communities to ensure that our residents have access to resources that will help promote their health, such as safe, affordable places for children to play, for example.
I'm wondering, what do you think, Michelle? Do you think that the Affordable Care Act is going to bend the cost curve and slow down the rate of healthcare cost increases?
I think, that's certainly what it was designed to do, as Kathleen said. I think we need more time to understand the long-term implications. But the good news is that we're now moving from a test-driven environment to a results-driven environment. So hopefully we'll begin to see that. But the hope is that patients who now have access to preventative care will take advantage of that. And that's our accountability as patients.
Do you think, Michelle, that that's going to lead to better healthcare outcomes for Valley residents?
I hope so. If the question is, will it make us a healthier community? I'm not sure. I think human behavior is hard to predict, but I think becoming a healthier community depends on our desire and willingness to lead healthier lifestyles. And certainly access to quality care and health benefits will help with that. But again, it's our accountability as patients to seek that preventative care.
You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with Dan Weintraub about this issue in an earlier segment, and he was comparing having access to doctors as having access to a mechanic for your car. He said that even if you had a great mechanic, if you're not putting oil in the car and not taking care of it, you're still not going to have a car that operates very well, and makes the same argument with health, that even if we provide doctors to folks, if they're not taking care of themselves and they have bad habits, it's not going to improve the healthcare outcomes. So, Kathleen, what do you think? Do you think it's going to have any impact on the healthcare outcomes of Valley residents, the Affordable Care Act?
Well, as Michelle said, the crystal ball is a little cloudy right now. We hope that it goes in that direction, but I think time will tell. I'd like to share with you something that, from our perspective, I think is a good move in this direction, and that is that the federal government recently implemented a rules change for Medicaid that allows a non-professional, paraprofessional individual to provide health education and support services for individuals with chronic healthcare conditions such as diabetes from a referral. So a client or a patient would have to have a referral from a doctor or another licensed professional to someone who could provide the health education and support services. This is a change at the federal level. The state of California has yet to adopt it, but it will allow more resources for primary care providers to have in the community to provide some of that support network that individuals need to make those healthy behavior changes, because it is difficult.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that change, recent change in the law. What other suggestions would you have, Kathleen, to improve the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I would urge Congress to continue supporting prevention funding. As you know, part of the Affordable Care Act, it was the prevention fund, and allowing those dollars to flow to states and local communities to allow us to, again, not only help patients better manage their health, but also, as I was saying earlier, creating healthier communities within which they can do that.
So, Michelle, what do you think? If you're making suggestions to our elected leaders, how would you improve the law?
Well, I would offer two things. Clearly, removing the barriers for those who were not insured is a good thing. And creating a care network from kids in school to those who need care late in life, it's just a more complex effort. But I think more input from hospitals would improve the law, because most hospitals are already living the reality of caring for high volumes of uninsured or underinsured patients in need of care. And secondly, it needs to address areas of shortage. We need more physicians, more nurses, more dentists, more psychiatrists, and hospital beds. This isn't new, but I think the Affordable Care Act will demonstrate the depth of the Valley's need in this area.
So you think maybe that another kind of a follow-up might be doing something about the number, the quantity of medical care providers in places like the Valley?
Yes, we live in the Valley that has long been recognized for a shortage in primary care and specialty physicians.
Yeah, and there's been talk about a medical center, a medical school, maybe even at UC Merced at some point, but that has yet to come to fruition. Well, I want to thank our guests. Up next, will access to health care insurance translate to better health for Valley residents? That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. We're talking about the implications for the Valley with the rollout of the ACA, or Obamacare, the new federal health care law. Our next guest is John Kappenman from the Central Valley Health Policy Institute at California State University, Fresno. Welcome back to the Maddie Report, Professor Kappenman.
It's a pleasure to speak with you again, Mark.
Do you think the Affordable Care Act will change the way Valley residents think about their health?
I think that there will be a 20% of us who really will have had a dramatic change in health care access, will have had a change in our insurance status that allows us to have more access to health care, or our Medicare recipients whose plan has been improved. And so those are people who will have more opportunity to engage in preventive health care and maybe will be thinking about that more. It's also possible that the health care providers that the rest of us see will be emphasizing preventive care to a greater extent. We're all very excited about something called the primary care medical home or doctor-centered medical home, patient-centered medical home. We have lots of new words for it. It's an everything old is new again. It's the idea of having a primary care doctor who really remembers your name and remembers your case and is actively working with you to make sure your care is excellent.
Does that also include like other specialists, like kind of a, you know, a group of doctors that then are taking care of people that talk to each other?
Hopefully. But the patient-centered medical home is really about fixing primary care, fixing your relationship. And there's another idea called an accountable care organization, which we're actually not exploring here in the Valley. You know that we're, the patient-centered medical home, all of the clinic systems are really pursuing that very very actively, and I think we'll begin to see some of the private practices as well. And that's a real new focus on prevention and improving the quality of primary care.
So let's talk a little bit about preventive care. So you're thinking we're going to see more emphasis on that?
Well, I think we're going to see some providers, particularly the providers who work with the Medi-Cal population and with prior uninsured people who really have a new group of people that they're working with. Those providers really are going to be emphasizing prevention in a way that they haven't. And then the rest of our providers have that opportunity, have all kinds of new incentives to do so. And so there's a chance that all of us will experience that kind of improved attention to prevention.
Now, I'm not sure if I saw the statistic on your site with your information or elsewhere, but I was reading that somewhere that you could see up to 135,700 San Joaquin Valley residents qualify under the new Medi-Cal program. That's pretty substantial in terms of
right.
folks that didn't have access before.
Right.
You know, but that impacts, you know, whether or not there are enough nurses and doctors and hospital capacity to deal with this new influx of this new, these newly insured.
I think it's important to realize not all of those people are new influx. A lot of them were people we were caring for already, but not in ideal ways, who were heavy users of the emergency room or were coming into even the clinic settings with poorly controlled asthma or poorly controlled high blood pressure. So these were folks who we were often serving, just not serving in the most ideal way. So yes, there will be a significant increase in demand for primary care, and the clinic systems are really jumping to respond to that, adding new physicians and actively working to expand the use of mid-level practitioners, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants. So they're responding to that need, and it's there. But it's not this huge, overwhelming flux of new people. It's better care and more thoughtful care, better financing of the care for many people that we've already been serving.
Now, we still, though, are underserved in terms of primary physicians and physicians that work in specialty practice. I was looking at a statistic that said that we have, 45 general practitioners per 100,000 population, and the U.S. average is between 60 and 80. So we're about, you know, maybe, less than a little more than half of the national average. Same with specialty physicians. We're under that target as well. So I'm just wondering, you know, just is it going to make a bad situation worse, or you're saying it's just going to pretty much be more of the same?
I think that we're going to see improvements in our healthcare system. I think that the Affordable Care Act will allow the clinics to have a better system of reimbursement, more timely and appropriate reimbursement, and able to expand their services. And then I think that we will see, even in specialty practices, more reimbursement available that wasn't in the past, and that more people will be getting access to care. You know, right now in Fresno, and in the Valley, we have two problems. We have both a shortage of physicians, but also maldistribution, where specialists in particular tend not to serve the publicly reimbursed, the Medi-Cal population. And so we're hoping to see that some of the changes in insurance coverage associated with the Affordable Care Act makes those patients more attractive to the specialists as well, and therefore increases the demand for actually specialists to come here. Right now, if you're a specialist provider, it is making a little bit of a career risk, or a primary care provider, it's making a little bit of a career risk in terms of what you can expect in terms of lifetime income. And so people are trading that off against their real desire to serve our populations and to live in our region. And so this will be something we continue to struggle with, but I think that people are recognized and are responding to the problem.
It seems like, there was an article in the Fresno Bee a while back about the fact that there are Fresno doctors that are unwilling to participate in some of the programs because the reimbursement rates are too low. Is that going to become – are we going to have a two-tier kind of system of healthcare where you have people that can afford to pay cash or pay like an annual payment to their physician, get one type of care, and then other people who can't afford that?
Well, we've had a two-tier system. We've very much had a system where – we had one kind of care available for low-income people and another kind of care for people who are middle class and upper middle class.
Is this going to exacerbate the problem, or is it going to make it better?
In a way, the Affordable Care Act is going to decrease that. It's just not going to eliminate it.
Okay.
It's going to create a little bit more equity, a little bit more fairness in access to care. We the Affordable Care Act was, I know it's been really political at a huge, huge fight, but it's a modest change. It's a way to stimulate access to private health insurance. And so, that's what's primarily happening, and that is a good thing.
Well, Dan Weintraub in an earlier segment was talking about, the argument that having health insurance and access to a doctor doesn't really matter if you engage in poor health habits or live in areas with bad air or water, this kind of wealth-health connection. So should we be more concerned about improving the wealth of Valley residents if we really want to improve the health of Valley residents?
Yeah, so there are two findings that are the two oldest and strongest findings in epidemiology, in the study of human illness and how it's distributed in the population. And the first is that the wealthier we are, the richer we are, the better off we are in health. And that's true for individuals, and it's true for communities, and it's true for nations. The second thing, though, is the greater the inequality, the greater the socioeconomic inequality we have in a community, the more it pulls down health. So inequality in and of itself creates poor health. What happens when you have a place like the Central Valley, where we have enormous inequalities in wealth and in quality of life and enormous segregation of communities by income and by race and ethnicity, that those affluent communities really have a lot more things going on that lead to people having better lives, fewer of the things that get in the way of people having healthier lives. And so they do have better health outcomes. The solution is not to say blame people in poverty because of their bad choices, but rather to recognize that there are all kinds of risks created by the level of inequality that we have right now. And I think that, there are lots of policy proposals that recognize that. There's new work from people working on air quality, on fair housing, on transportation quality across the board, where we recognize the things that we could do to improve health outcomes, improve living conditions for the poorest among us, and raise the overall level of health and well-being in our community.
Well, I want to thank Professor John Kapitman from the Central Valley Health Policy Institute at Fresno State, Kathleen Grassi, the director of the Merced County Department of Public Health, and Michelle Von Tersch, the director of communications for Community Medical Centers, for joining us. If you want to keep up to date with state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by just logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on important public policy issues.
This is Mark Kepler for the Maddie Report Valley Views Edition. Thanks for joining us.